Sagt der Mishnah weiter, Masechtes Makkes, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Ketzar ha'edim nasin zaymimin. How are edim punished for being edim zaymimin? So we should be familiar with edim zaymimin. We had it several times in Masechtes Sanhedrin. Basically, Reuven and Shimon come along and they say, we saw Levi b'mechal Shabbos, we warned him, it was b'mezid, b'hasra, Levi should be chayv misa. Of course, we're not talking about brothers. If they were brothers, there would be possibly Eidos, and they definitely would be possible to say Eidos on a brother. Let's say they're not brothers. Reuven and Shimon come along and they say Levi was Mechal Shabbos. Yehuda and Yisachar come along and they say, what? Imanu Yisim. You, Reuven and Shimon, you were with us in a different town at that time. How could you have seen him be Mechal Shabbos? So Reuven and Shimon now become Edom Zaymimim. And we do to Reuven and Shimon what Reuven and Shimon wanted to do to Levi. But sometimes you can't do to Reuven and Shimon what Reuven and Shimon wanted to do to Levi. For example, suppose Reuven and Shimon came along and they said, we say Edus, that Levi, who is a Kohen, is really a Ben Gerusha. His father, who obviously is also a Kohen, if not he couldn't be a Kohen, married a divorced woman, and that's how Levi was born. How do we know? He divorced her in front of us. We saw it. And therefore you should know, Levi is a chalal. He cannot do the avodah. He was born out of a marriage that is aser. Oy ben chalutza. When someone passes away without children, and he has one or more brothers, his wife is a yavama. She has to marry one of the brothers. How can she get out of marrying one of the brothers? She has to go through a process called chalitza. Removing the shoe, she has to spit. There's a whole process. So let's say a woman is a chalitza. They did chalitza with her. Her husband died without children, and one of her husband's brothers did chalitza. A kohen can't marry her. If he does marry her and they have a child, that child cannot be a kosher, a kohen, to do the avoda. So these edim, they testify that this kohen's mother performed chalitza before marrying his father. And therefore, this person is possible to be a kohen. Okay, so Reuven and Shimon come along and they say, Levi is a ben gerusha or Levi is a ben chalitza. And we saw the divorce. We saw the chalitza. It happened on this and this day and this town. And then along come Yisachar and Zvul and they say, excuse me, Reuven and Shimon, you saw the divorce, you saw the chalitza, you were with us on that and that day. In a different town. You couldn't have been there at that time. So what happens now? If they had testified that Levi was Michal Shabbos, okay. They wanted to give Levi skila, they get skila. What happens here? Zak the Mishnah, Ein Oimrim, we do not say, Yasa Zed ben Gerusha ben Chalutza Tachta. We don't say that Reuven and Shimon should be considered like a Ben Gerusha or Ben Chalutza. In other words, if they are Kehanim, they should automatically become possible to do the Avodah as if there would be a Chalal. In other words, if the Edom aren't Kehanim, obviously they're possible anyway to do the Avodah. But even if they were Kehanim, so let's say, okay, so we're going to, you wanted to say Levi is possible to do the Avodah, we'll consider you possible to do the Avodah. No, we don't do that. Why not? The answer is, because if we're going to say that Reuven and Shimon are now considered each a chalal, that doesn't just punish them, that punishes their children as well. The child of a chalal is a chalal, says the Batanura. So we wouldn't just be punishing Reuven and Shimon, we would be punishing Reuven's son and Shimon's son and so on. And we darshin, says the Batanura, ve'asisem loyi kasha zaman. We do to the aid what he wanted to do to someone else. But loy v'loy lazari, we don't punish his children. Frek the Batanura, okay. So I have a good idea. Let's say that just Reuven and Shimon would be considered a chalal, but their children won't be considered chalalim. Their children will be kosher to do the avoda. The answer is no, it won't work. Because the pasuk says you have to do to him what he wanted to do to the person he was saying, hey, the son, we have to do to Reuven and Shimon what they wanted to do to Levi. Now, what did they want to do to Levi? They wanted to make him a chalal and Levi's children a chalal. And all his descendants, chalalim. Now, if you're going to say only Reuven and Shimon are a chal, but not their children, so you're not doing to Reuven and Shimon what he wanted to do to Levi, what they wanted to do to Levi, rather. You're giving them less of a punishment. That doesn't work. Okay, so I can't do to Reuven and Shimon exactly what they wanted to do to Levi, because that would be punishing Reuven and Shimon's children. I can't say just Reuven and Shimon are a chal, but not their children, because that's not what they wanted to do to Levi. So what do I do? What is the punishment for Reuven and Shimon over here? Elo rather, loike arboim, rechayv malchus. They receive 40 lashes. And that too is darshan from Psukim, as the Batanur explains. Weiter sagt the Mishnah. Here's another case where Edom zaymimim can't be punished in the way they wanted to punish the person they were saying Edis on. And this has to do with the halachas of galus. Person kills someone else b'shoigeg, he's chayiv galus. He has to run away and go into one of the special orei miklot, cities of refuge. So zakta mishna weiter, suppose Reuven and Shimon come along. And they say, me'iden onu b'ish pleini. We testify that Levi killed someone by mistake. Shu chayiv liglois, the type of mistake where he's chayiv to go to galus. And again, along come Yisachar and Zvul, and they say, what, Reuven and Shimon, the day you supposedly saw that, you were with us in a different place. Ein Oimrim, we don't say that Yiglazeh Tachtav, that Reuven and Shimon should be punished with what they tried to do to Levi, and that each maybe should go into Galus. No, we don't do that. Because the Pasuk says, by someone who kills someone else, B'shaigeg Hu Yonis, he is the only one that has to run to the Arei Miklat. There's no other Hechatimsa. There's no one else. Only someone who actually killed B'shaigeg. The Edom Zaymimim, normally Taka, they would get the punishment they wanted to bring upon someone else, but not here. The Torah says the only one that gets galus is the one who actually killed someone B'shaigeg. Ela rather loike arboim, rather they receive 40 malchus. We're going to learn later that it's actually not 40, it's 40 minus 1, but we refer to it as 40 for reasons we will explain. Bez Hashem Yisbarach. When we get to it, Zok the Mishnah Vaita, suppose Reuven and Shimon come along and they say, Me'iden anu b'ish pleini. We testify about so and so, Shagiresh es ishtoi, that he divorced his wife, Veloi nosan lo ksubasa, and he did not pay her ksuba. We saw he divorced her in front of us. When a person divorces his wife, he has to pay a certain amount of money. A ksuba was signed before they got married. Now the husband says, it's not true, I never divorced her, I don't have to pay her ksuba. Then along come good old Yisachar and Zvul, and they say, what? You saw Levi divorce his wife and this day, and this place. You were with us on that day and that place. So Reuven and Shimon now become Edom Zaymimim. So L'chayra, okay, Reuven and Shimon, you have to pay the ksuba now. So we say no. Because here's the problem. What are we going to make Reuven and Shimon pay? We're going to make him pay the whole ksuba? The Mishnah argues, well, bein hayom ubein lemachar, either today or tomorrow, saifilite, he might eventually have to pay his wife the ksuba anyway. If he passes away before she does, his estate, meaning to say the money he leaves over, has to be used to pay her ksuba. If he divorces her, eventually he would have to pay her ksuba. Now, true, if she passes away before him, if that's what eventually happens, then he never had to pay a ksuba. But right now, what do we do with these Edom Zaymimim? We have no way of knowing what eventually would have been, or what could be, or what will be. For all we know, the Edom Zaymimim and Reuven Hashem didn't cause Levi to pay the ksuba, could be eventually would have had to have paid it anyway. So therefore, what are Reuven Hashem going to have to pay? Zakta Mishnah, Oim Din, we assess. Try to figure out. And Din means, I don't know clearly, but this is how I shot something up. I assess a situation. Kama Adam Rois Elitin, how much would a person want to give B'ksibasa Shalzu to buy the rights of a woman's ksuba? Now, when you buy the rights of a woman's ksuba, you're taking a chance. You know you may eventually wind up with her ksuba. That's if she outlives her husband or gets divorced. Or you may wind up with zero. And that's if she passes away before the husband. If she passes away before the husband, her husband yarishes her. And the money you paid for this ksuba is lost. But there are people that are willing to take a chance. They're saying, you know what? I'll pay her for the rights of the ksuba. I'll give her money now on the chance that maybe I'll make money later. Okay, so how much would a person give for such a risk? So again, says the Mishnah, Oimdin, we assess. Kama adam roitza litem biksubasa shelzu. How much would a person want to pay for her ksuba with a cheshbin that she imnis almina oinis garsha, if she's widowed or divorced? So he wins, so to speak. The buyer will collect the money of the ksuba instead of her, but he's also taking the risk that if the imemes, if she dies before her husband, Yerushen Abayla, her husband will yarshin her, inherit her, and the buyer will get zero. So whatever that amount is, that someone who takes these kinds of chances would pay for this, that's the amount that Reuven and Shimon have to pay. Weiter sagt the Mishnah. Here's another case where the Edom Zayim are going to pay less than the amount they tried to make in our Mashal Levi pay. Mi'idin anu be'ish plaini, we testify that so-and-so owes his friend money. We testify, Reuven Hashem testified that Levi, Shehu, he being Levi in our Mashal, Chayev lechaveray is Chayev to his friend Elev Zuz. Levi owes Yankel 1,000 Zuz. And we have exact details of the loan. When Yankel gave Levi the money, it was almanas on the condition, the litanon aloi, that the money be paid back, mikan v'yachloshe, at any time from now until 30 days. For who I remember, Levi says, True. I took a loan from Yankel, and I had a deadline when to pay it back. But it wasn't such a short deadline. It wasn't from now until 30 days. Vehu Aimer, he says, Levi says, it was Mikan V'Adeser Shanim. It's from now until 10 years that I have to pay it back. Then along come Yisachar and Zvul, and they say, what? Reuven Hashimon, you saw this loan? You're a witness to this tonight, that he only had 30 days to pay it back. You were with us on that day, in a different place. At that time. So Reuven and Shimon again become Edom Zayimim. But how much do they have to pay? How much did they make the defendant, meaning Levi, lose? What do you mean? They're going to make him pay 1,000 zuz. That's not really fair to say that. He admits that he owes 1,000 zuz. Eventually he would have to pay it back. It's just that he claims he had 10 years to pay it back, and you two Edom came and lied and said he only had 30 days. So Oimdin, we assess. Again, an assessment means it's hard to give an exact amount, but we're Meshayer. We estimate. Kama Adam Reitza Litin. How much would a person pay? So that V'yu B'yadoi Elev Zuz, so that he has 1,000 Zuz for an extra amount of time. Be'noisna Mikan V'Shloshim Yoin. In the case where we'd have to pay it back in 30 days. Be'noisna Mikan V'Yadeser Shonim. Or a case where he has 10 years to pay it back. How much would I be willing to give to get an extension? Whatever that money is, that's how much Reuven and Shimon have to pay. Now here we have a shtickle problem. We know there's an iser called ribis. I'm not allowed to tell someone, okay, you know what, pay me back a little bit later, but give me extra money. That's interesting. You're not allowed to do that. So it's explained, and Chanami, you're not allowed to do that. But Lamaisa, if it was mutter to do that, so how much would a person give to be able to get his loan extended? That's the amount that in this case, Reuven and Shimon would have to pay. So basically, what did we have in our Mishnah? We had cases where Reuven and Shimon become Edom Zaymimim, but we can't apply the regular Vasisim like Ashazamim Lasis L'Achiv do to them what they wanted to do to their brother. The first case was Reuven and Shimon testified that Levi is a Kayin who is really the son of a Gerusha. We witnessed his mother get divorced. And now someone else married her? Or even the husband himself remarried her? But this person that was married to her the second time was a kohen. He was not allowed to take her because she was already divorced. The child that is born is a chalal. And Reuven and Shimon say, Levi is that chalal. Then it turns out they were Edom Zaymimim. They didn't witness the divorce. They weren't even there. Or they say, then chalutza. The Levi's mother received chalutza. Originally, her husband died without children. Her husband's brother gave her chalitza. And a kohen married her. He wasn't supposed to marry her. And this is the child. This child is a chalal. So we don't say that Reuven and Shimon should become a chalal instead, even if they were kehanim. The problem? Let's say Reuven and Shimon, these Eidim were kehanim. You're going to say, okay, for now you're possible to do the Avaida. But if they become a chalal or chalalim, their children also become possible. And the Torah says, punish the Eidim Zaymim, not the children of the Eidim Zaymim. On the other hand, to say that only they become a chalal and not their children, you can't do that either. Because that's not what they wanted to do to Levi. They wanted to pass Levi and his children. So therefore they get Malkus. Case number two. They said Eidus on someone that is Chayiv Golus. He killed someone b'shagig. Turns out they turn out to be Eidim Zaymim. We don't say that he goes to Golus instead. Because we learn from the Pasuk, only the one who kills someone b'shagig goes to Golus. Rather, he gets Malkus. Case number three. They testify about a certain person that he divorced his wife and didn't give her ksuba. Then it turns out they're Eidim Zaymim. They weren't there when he divorced his wife. They were in a different town. They were someplace else during that time. So it's hard to put a cash value on this. We can't just say, well, now you pay the ksuba, because you almost caused Levi to pay a ksuba that he didn't have to pay. It's not necessarily true. Because there's a very good chance that eventually Levi will have to pay the ksuba. If Levi dies before his wife, his estate, the money that he leaves over, would have to pay the ksuba. If Levi divorces his wife one day, he's going to have to pay a ksuba anyway. So in that case, they didn't really cause Levi any damage. On the other hand, there's a possibility that Levi's wife will die before him, and as a result, he, Arshon, certainly wouldn't have to pay a ksuba. So what we do is, what are we going to make Reuven and Shimon pay? We're going to make him pay the amount that someone who speculates, takes chances, would pay if a woman said, does anyone want to buy the rights to my ksuba? That's taking a chance. Because maybe eventually he'll get it. That's if the husband would have to pay out the ksuba. If he dies before, his estate would have to pay it out, or if he divorces her, but maybe she'll die before him. Therefore, there won't be a ksuba. But some people are willing to buy those rights just in case one day they'll be able to collect. So whatever that person would pay, that's how much these Eidim Zaymimim would have to pay. The fourth and final case in the Mishnah of Eidim Zaymimim that can't be punished by Mamish doing to them what they wanted to do to someone else. Suppose they testify that Levi owes Yankel 1,000 zuz, and the deal was he has 30 days to pay it up. Levi's maida he owes 1,000 zuz, but he says, I had 10 years to pay it up. Then Reuven and Shimon become Eidim Zaymimim. So what are we going to make Reuven and Shimon pay? Pay 1,000 zuz? Why? Eventually you would have had to have paid 1,000 zuz anyway. It's not like they're making Levi lose 1,000 zuz. Elamite, what would have happened? They would have forced Levi to pay up within 30 days when he really had 10 years. So, how much is that worth? How much would a person pay to extend his loan? Even though we said, according to the halachis of ribis, you can't do that. You can't pay someone money to be able to keep his money longer. But we're not telling him to do that. Chas v'shalom, we're not telling him to be over the yisur of ribis. We're saying that if it was mutter, how much would a person pay for that to be able to extend his loan? And that's the amount that Reuven and Shimon are going to have to pay Levi.